The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Motivation Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Believe it or not, it's the 9th of November already, 2016. Tomorrow, 2 weeks, is Thanksgiving if you celebrate it. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, and our 30-day strength program. Both of them are free e-books. Just give us email address and away you go. I'm thinking about the next thing. Also, too, we got our good friend Gary Reinel on today. This will be our third show we've done. Go out and look at motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Well, I'll be putting number 3 up within the next 5 days. So you're going to have 3 highly, highly looked at shows. All these shows have done very, very well. Gary sent me a couple other people. We've already had Mark Kovacs on. We were waiting to hear back from Dr. Nick. That was my fault because we got some bad software, and, of course, I was off the air for almost 5 days. I wouldn't say it was my fault, but I'll take the blame anyways. So, we're adding more and more on, and obviously I'm probably going to be off, it looks like, for the next 5 weeks come Thanksgiving week, because I haven't had a day off basically hardly at all with my voice in over 2 years now, and there's too many business things that need my attention so we can keep this thing rolling and start doing 100,000 downloads a month, and that is how quick we're going on it. There's a lot of big things going on with the show behind the scenes. I plan on there's 6 things going on with the show. They're all amazing, and they will happen. They might not happen 1, 2, 3, but they will happen for sure within, I would say, it'll be less than a year. And 2 of the 6 are gigantic, and it could put this show on the map like nothing you've ever seen before, and everybody with it. So that's something you want to look at. But go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast and go out and look at that library. Before I bring Gary in, I've been reading this on every show, and we're going to start doing a lot more of this. We are going to start reviewing books that we like. Basically, their manliness. They're people that I believe have great character and stand out from the crowd. And I'm more interested in that in 17, I think, than anything. The training, all that, yeah, it all goes with it. But we're building men and women here. Now, John Wooden was, in my opinion, one of the greatest college basketball coaches. And I'm reading out of a book. It's called The Lifetime of Observations and Reflections on and Off the Court. Wooden is the name. Coach John Wooden with Steve Jamison. I think right now, I think about this a lot. It's called The Opinion of Others. Do not become too concerned about what others may think of you. Be very concerned about what you think of yourself. Too often we care more about a stranger's opinion of us than our own. Your opinion of yourself begins on the inside with your character. Character, very important word. What do you believe in? And are you willing to stand up for it despite what others may think or say? It's what my dad meant when he said, be true to yourself. This comes first, and then the opinion of others. And I'll add what my dad always said, and we say it during the show. Be a leader, not a follower. I'm going to give you a little information about Gary, and if he wants to comment on what I just read, he is more than welcome to do it. But number one, he's in the sports medicine field for over 40 years. He's a trainer of professional athletes and a pioneer of strength building for women during pregnancy, and he's developed rehabilitation programs for injured workers. And one of the things we're going to talk about is programs that he does He does high-intensity strength training for 90-year-olds. I mean, and we're talking older people. We've never gotten into a lot of that on the show, and I think that's a hell of a topic because eventually we're all going to get there. But we, like Gary was saying before he came on the air, there's a lot of us who have older parents. Maybe they aren't 90 yet, but it doesn't matter. When is it too early to get into physical training? So we're going to get into that. And I'm trying to think, is there anything else? No, I guess there's not. Gary, welcome back. Good to have you back, sir.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
It is great to have you. Anything I missed, give that out, please. And if you want to comment on Coach Wooden, what I just read, you're more than welcome to, and then we'll get right into today's topic, please.
I 100% agree with what you read from Coach Wooden. I'm a follower of his. I love how he taught people to simply do things like put their socks on, for heaven's sakes.
Yep.
It's like, what? No, you're going to learn how to put your socks on because you probably don't know how to do it.
Yep, absolutely.
And just a great coach and a great model, and I think about him often. I've been in the field where I've caused change, for example, with my ICE book, ICE, the Illusionary Treatment Option, going after that myth.
Yep.
Going after lifting weights during the pregnancy year. I don't know if you know this or not, but that little topic, I actually wrote the first book on the topic of that back
nice.
In 1981. Conducted the largest, most publicized exercise and pregnancy study in history. There was a great doctor involved with this there who really cared about women. He was an obstetrician and contributed greatly to it. But I ran the room.
Yep.
And what we were able to find out was that if you were weak, it was harder to be pregnant than if you were strong.
Yep.
Now, can you imagine that? Just imagine figuring something that simple out. Well, you know what? In 1981, that wasn't known.
Yeah.
That was not understood.
Yep.
And I remember talking to my first doc, trying to convince him to let one of his patients come to our facility to lift weights during pregnancy. He's like, why?
Hey.
Because the back's not strong enough to hold up a 20-pound thing in the front. That's why.
Yeah, and think about this. I mean, back in the day, we're talking way in 50s or whatever. I mean, it was nothing for a doctor to be smoking a cigarette while they're examining. Now, look, I'm not going to get into that whole thing. People always make the argument, oh, this guy smoked till he was – I know people that have smoked till their 90s. They just – one day they keeled over. Do I know every day of their life how good they felt or bad? There's something that was really interesting, Gary, and we'll get right into this, and I think you'll really appreciate this. Carmen Caputo, who's 71 years old, he's a regular on here, ex-Marine. He was never an ex-Marine. He'll always be one. Was a school teacher for years, a champion power lifter, and a hell of a guy. And he tells a story about his grandfather, who was a longshoreman. And this was when Carmen was a little kid. And he chewed tobacco. He smoked. But my, oh, my, he worked his ass off. And, I mean, you know that stuff is not easy work. Very physical. And he ate everything fresh, he and his family and his kids, obviously. And we got into this a little bit. And I know the data today shows a lot different about cigarettes and diet and chewing and all that. But what I found very interesting about it, I made this point to him. I think he lived to 92. I mean, he was pretty spry still before he went, from what Carmen said. I think a lot of stuff, too, with disease and everything else is, you know, he had a big family, of course, back then. They were the first generation over from Italy. You know, he didn't have time to worry about a lot of things people worry about now. Not concerned with things that really at times don't mean jack to you. Now, could that have contributed to his longevity? I absolutely think so. And did he probably have good genes? I would think he did, obviously. But the point of the matter is a lot of these things, people die. People get cancer. And if they know you smoke, well, that did it. Well, yeah, it might have contributed. But my point of the whole thing is, do we ever really know what took you down? I'll let you answer that however you think, but I'm going to say no. We know contributing factors. We know guesstimates. And we know things have been proven. But you know what? How many people do you hear that are young, never smoked, never drank, never were promiscuous with their life? And 25 years old, they go out for a run and drop dead right on the ground. So, you know, we talked about Coach Wooden and all that. What's your comment? And we'll get right into the strength training, because this is going to be a great show with that. What do you feel about that? Is there, I mean, you've seen enough of this. What is your feeling on tobacco and everything else, and how a lot of times we put things in a context, kind of like in a box, and say, okay, if you step out of this and do this, this, and this, you know, you could be dead by 40. What is your feeling with a lot of that, Gary?
Well, there's no question that some behaviors can kill you.
Correct.
And others can help you live longer.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't care about dying or living longer.
Right.
What I care about is being fully functional every minute I'm here. And I'm certainly not going to compromise my ability to function
right.
by smoking a cigarette, for heaven's sakes.
I'm with you.
I'm not concerned that, oh, it may kill you in 30 years. No, it may make me feel miserable right now.
Yeah. For sure. No, I agree with you. But, you know, different era, different time, et cetera, et cetera. This is real interesting. High-intensity training, obviously, for our elderly people. And I've read stuff through the years. I mean, I remember Time Magazine. I was looking a lot of information up. And I'm sure you remember the study they did with growth hormone on the elderly, which was very interesting. And I'm not going to be pro or con with it. It was an article I read. But you came up, obviously, with a program to enrich these older people and get them up on their feet, obviously, get them inspired, you know, have a whole new outlook in life. How did this all come about for you, Gary? How did you come up with a lot of this?
Well, first, it's really important to understand that I didn't make it up. I simply organized the facts.
Yep.
And then took it to the physical therapy world.
Okay.
And what I did was got involved with a company, a billion-dollar-plus rehab company, who I made up a program.
Yep.
And then sold them the program, and then they hired me to run it for them nationally.
Oh, cool.
It gave me virtually an unlimited travel budget. And when I say unlimited, I could go anywhere I want in the country, anytime I want to do anything I needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And no one, I was never asked once, what do you do with your money?
Yep.
No one ever asked me. Now, here's what happened. Today, there are over 2,000 facilities in the country, nursing homes, assisted care facilities, independent living campuses for the elderly, that have that protocol, that have that program. Over 2,000 facilities. But that's today. Let me read something to you, and I'm not going to let you guess because I don't want you to be wrong on your own TV, on your own radio show.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Now, listen to this. Title, Pumping Iron Improves Strength Mobility of 80 and 90-Year-Olds.
Yep.
Pumping iron in the 90s? Is there really any point? Absolutely. According to a new study reported in the June 23rd issue of the New England Journal of Medicine, in fact, frail people in their 80s and 90s become stronger and more mobile with high-intensity weight training. Okay, now, when do you think that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine?
If I'm guessing, 20 years ago. Don't tell me yesterday either. I'll cry.
1994.
Was it? Oh, so that's over 20 years, right?
The original work was actually done in 1988 and 99.
Okay.
Originally, the first pieces of the information were published in JAMA. That's the American Medical Association's journal, the Journal of the American Medical Association. They call it JAMA.
Yep.
That was June of 1990. And their conclusion statement is this. Remember, this is 1990.
Yeah. Yeah.
We conclude that high resistance weight training leads to significant gains in muscle, strength, size, and functional mobility among residents of nursing homes up to 96 years of age. Okay, now I got a big question for everybody. What part of that didn't you understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
High intensity resistance training. Lifting weights. By the way, the first paper, Pumping Iron Improves Strength Mobility of 80 and 90-Year-Olds, that's literally a news release from the National Institute on Aging.
Yep. Well, let me
say, The federal government has supported this research, this information. It's published in the most prestigious journals in the world, medical journals in the world. And for 25 years, you can still walk into a nursing home and see people playing with hoops and putty and little rubber bands.
Yep, yep. Well, let me ask you this, though, and this is something I'm coming from the lifting end of things, and you know with this stuff. A lot of what we do gets a bad rap, media-wise. You know, how many people will you meet, well, and they'll say to you, oh, you lift weights. I'm like, yeah. And the first thing out of their mouth is, why? And what I see with a lot of people, especially nowadays, with all the information we have, with physical culture, physical strength, whether it's walking, whether it's light resistance weight training, whether it's very high intensity, whether it's going from movement to movement to movement, you know, stones, rack work, all the stuff that I love to do. Why, you know, we're looking back at years of Jack LaLanne. I mean, he was really the guy that lit the whole thing up. I mean, let's face it, I've gone out and looked at excerpts of his show from the 50s. I mean, incredible guy. I mean, did magnificent things. You know, you look at like Vince Guaranda, Rio Blair, you know, I'm not a bodybuilder, but Joe Weider, Bob Hoffman. The list goes on and on with these physical culture people that proved that this stuff is for real. But yet, and I imagine even if you went in places they didn't know you, you'd get resistance. Why the resistance, you think?
There's no question about it. I spent 20 years fighting this battle. It's ignorance. They're unaware of the facts.
Yep.
See, they'll look at something and they'll say, well, you know, you really can't expect this 85-year-old that's unable to walk to get on a Nautilus leg press machine, for example,
yep,
and lift 150 pounds 10 to 15 times. And I say, why not? And they say, well, Gary, they can't do it. I say, why can't they do it?
Yeah.
And they go, well, Gary, you got to be real. They can't lift that much weight. And I say, why can't they lift that much weight? See, I'm not going to stop until you admit to me it's because they're weak.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why they can't lift the weight, because they're weak.
Yep.
Okay. If you think about this and you realize, well, what causes you not to be weak? Well, you have to lift weights. Yep. And you can't lift 3 ounces. You know, I once saw someone doing bicep curls with a half-pound dumbbell. I said, are you doing? What's a half-pound dumbbell going to do for you?
Yep.
And let me explain it to you. Here's what got me started. I was walking through a nursing home in Orange City, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if you go to my website, which is free, there's nothing on it for sale. But when I left this primary focus and went into the sports medicine world for elite athletes, I took this and left it in place and gave everything I know about it and put it in one place for free for anyone to use. And if you email me, I'll even help you interpret what the document says.
Mm-hmm.
Go to twoweektowalk.com, T-O-O, twoweektowalk.com. It is free. It explains everything, the journal articles, the presentation I used, what I did, where I did it, how I did it. And you can go copy it, and good luck, and I want you to succeed. Now, why did I do that? When I got started, I walked into a nursing home in Orange City, Florida. I heard music playing and people somewhat singing. I followed the music and song down the hallway. And when I walked into the room, there were 33 people. 31 of them were in wheelchairs. There were actually 34 people. 31 of them were in wheelchairs. And two of the three that weren't looked like they should have been. I later found out that nursing home didn't have enough wheelchairs, and they actually had wheeled those people down, put them in a chair, and gone back to get new ones.
Oh, boy.
Now, with that said, that's a rule now. You now have to have wheelchairs for everybody.
Yep.
Now, but that right there infuriates me.
Yep.
Now, let me just tell you what happened. So I walk in. I see all these people in wheelchairs. Remember, two of the three that weren't look what they should have been. And there were literally people so weak they could not hold their head in an upright position. half the room, I'm making up the number, but half the room was too weak to hold up the weight of a hymn book in front of them.
Yep.
I'm watching. It's 11:30 when I walk in the room. How do I know that? Because the clock was right above the person playing the piano, singing, leading the song.
Wow.
At exactly 12 o'clock, the music stopped, and I jokingly say, in the middle of a note. Now, why did it stop suddenly at noon? Well, the reason is that room then converts from the utility room to the lunchroom. So it stops at 12 o'clock. Done. We're not singing anymore. We're not playing the piano anymore. We're going to turn this into the lunchroom.
Mm-hmm.
On that stroke, as the music stopped, the head therapist walked to the door and said, Gary, we've been looking for you. What's going on? And I said, well, you know what? I came down here to this room. I heard piano playing and people singing, and I kind of followed the sound down the hallway and walked in. I said, I got a question for you. There's 34 people in here. 31 are in wheelchairs. Two of the three that aren't look like they should be. How many of these people are paralyzed? The therapist looked at me and said, well, Gary, none of them are paralyzed.
Exactly.
And I said, are you ashamed of yourself? I mean, you understand, that's a director of rehab. I said, are you ashamed of yourself?
Mm.
Now, why? How could you let that happen? They were simply too weak to walk.
Yep. Yep.
They were not paralyzed. You have the clinical evidence published in the major peer-reviewed journals, and in that world, it's called evidence-based.
Mm-hmm.
You've got that evidence before you do anything. That's the rule. Okay, here's all the evidence you'd ever need. Why aren't you doing it? And does that make you guilty of not practicing evidence-based medicine because you're not doing what the evidence says is the only way to solve the problem? Now, you know what the number one problem is in the elderly?
What's that?
You'll probably say osteoporosis if you've been sold by Madison Avenue. It's not. It's called sarcopenia. Now, many of your listeners may have not heard the word sarcopenia.
Mm-hmm.
However, sarcopenia is the loss of muscle.
There you go.
You can have weak bones.
Yep.
And it matters. But if you ain't got muscles, you're in big trouble.
Yep.
So here it is. In the year 2000, an article entitled Sarcopenia, a Major Modifiable Cause of Frailty in the Elderly, was published in the Journal of Nutrition, Health, and Aging. We believe their conclusion statement, me being the writer of this paper, my co-author, believe the conclusion statement is potentially historic. If we are correct, it is the first time that anyone ever connected the terms sarcopenia and high intensity in a major peer-reviewed journal article. Here's the quote from the journal. Now, this is in 2000. That's 16, almost 17 years ago.
Yep.
Sarcopenia can be reversed with high-intensity progressive resistance exercise, which can probably also slow its development. Now, let me ask you a question. And everybody listening, because everybody out there has someone in their life who is at risk of this problem, and you can save them from misery. How can you sit back and not acknowledge what you just heard?
Yeah.
Reversed by high-intensity progressive resistance training.
Yep.
You remember Tom DeLorme? You remember that name, Tom DeLorme?
Sure.
Well, I met Tom DeLorme, went to his house more than once, and met him at his office several times up in Boston. Tom DeLorme is who made up the double progression system. So you would do till you get 12 reps, and then you go up in weight. Then you get 12 reps, and you go up in weight. And that was the DeLorme method. Well, I met Dr. DeLorme, and when I met him and I talked to him, he had a great story about how he became, in effect, famous. He was a physician in the military during World War II.
Yep.
This is his words telling me, so I'm assuming first person it's completely accurate because he had no reason to not tell me the truth. What happened was he got caught having soldiers lifting weights in the hospital.
Oh.
And you weren't allowed to do that.
Nope.
And he was an old weightlifter.
Yep.
But he was a doc. But it was the war, and guys wanted to get better and go back and help. So he got caught, and he was significantly reprimanded.
Yep.
He then hid the weight room in an upstairs room of the hospital, and continued to do it against orders. When he was caught again, Dr. DeLorme was reprimanded again, but this time told to continue.
Oh, isn't that something? Yep.
You know why he was told to continue? Because it worked.
Yeah.
Now, this is the bureaucrats back in the 40s.
Yep.
People stepping in the way. Since Dr. DeLorme introduced that into medicine, into rehabilitation, now, they weren't 90-year-olds back then, but the principles of the double progression system were in place.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all I did. I simply went to the senior living industry, and I said, so what's wrong here? And pretty much no one answered me, and I said, well, let me get this straight. That person right there is too weak to walk. So what are you doing to fix that problem? And I shadowed in the nursing home for a week and a half, 2 weeks. And I really did. I went every day, all day. And I watched. And I saw that nothing they were doing were ever going to solve the weakness problems of that individual.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Playing with marbles and red cups and hoops, half-pound dumbbells. I'm like, what are you guys doing? You've got to make his legs strong.
Yep.
Okay, so here's what I did. I said, what's wrong? And to me, I stopped asking them. I said, the guy's not strong enough to go from a seated to a standing position. So you know what I did? I said, well, what does that look like in the gym?
Yep.
And I went, well, that is like a squat to me. Well, I couldn't have them do squats because they couldn't hold the weight of their own body, so you couldn't possibly do a squat. So I looked at the Nautilus leg press machine and said, by the way, you could use Hammer. You could use Med-X. There's other good brands of leg presses you could use. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you ought to use Nautilus. That's just what I use.
Right.
So I looked at it and said, well, I can take that Nautilus machine down to virtually zero. I'll bet they can do virtually zero. So picked them up out of the wheelchair, put them in the leg press machine, had them push out whatever they could, established what they could do 12 to 15 times, and then double progressed.
Yep.
You got 12 reps, went up in weight. Double 12 reps, up in weight. Went up 5% of the time is how we controlled it. So no one ever – like you didn't go from 5 pounds to 10 pounds. That's too much of a jump. You got to go up 5 pounds. So we actually had ounce magnets.
Yep.
So there was 1 ounce, 2 ounce, 3 ounce, 4 ounce, all the way up to, I think, 2-pound magnets is what I had.
Mm-hmm.
And you just stuck the magnet on the side of the weight stack. It worked beautifully. Okay, so now you get the person up to the point where they can now leg press, let's just say, 200 pounds 12, 15 times. How long does that take? I'm going to give you a real person, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A real person. Boulder, Colorado, the Good Samaritan Nursing Home. If you go on my website and look me up, you can actually see the story of the guy. And it's a video from an old news piece that was done back then. So I'm not just telling you the story. You can go on the internet, the GaryReinold.com YouTube, and you can look it up and you can watch the video. So here's what happens. I have a guy that can't walk for over 2 years. Hadn't walked. All he wanted to do was be able to go to the bathroom by himself. That's mm-hmm. all he wanted. He didn't want anything else. He didn't want to run a marathon. He simply wanted to be able to get out of bed and walk to the bathroom and come back by himself. That's all he wanted to do. So we took him and started him working. And in 17 weeks, we had the man so strong that he literally was able to walk across the rehab center.
Wow.
Helped. No one helping him. Unassisted. Okay?
Yep.
Yeah. Let me tell you what happened. First day we went to put him in, and I said, his name was Floyd. I don't want to say his last name. In the article, you can read his name, but I don't want to say his last name because he's not with us anymore. He's long since passed.
Yep.
But I said, Floyd, I actually call him by his last name, so I call him Mr. Floyd, let's just say.
Yep.
Could you get up on the machine here? And the therapist looked at me and said, Gary, he can't get out of the wheelchair. And I looked at my therapist. I said, you pick up one side, I'll pick up the other. So we picked him up and we put him in the leg press machine. And then I said, okay, Mr. Floyd, would you put your feet up on the platform there because we're going to have to push the weight forward? Well, he didn't have enough strength to lift his legs to the platform.
Wow.
So I told my therapist, pick up that foot, and I'll pick up this one. We put him up there. Now, we put his feet up and we ask him to push the weight forward. We're on zero. It's just the weight of the platform. He can't move it to save his life. And I went, okay, grab that side. I'll get this side. The two of us push the platform forward with our hands. Got the weight all the way out to the end. One of his feet fell off the platform. And I said, no, you got to hold your foot up there. He did not have enough physical functional strength to push his foot against the platform to hold it there.
Yep.
Okay, this is a mess now. You've got to understand how weak this is. I said, okay, I'll tell you what. You hold that foot, I'll hold this foot. So the therapist and I held his feet, and we said, okay, now look, you can't push it forward, but I'll bet you can lower it back. Well, you know what? He was too weak to lower it back, so he couldn't do negative only. So we had to do negative assist only. So we assisted him lowering the weight back, and then we pushed it back out for him, holding his feet this time. First time he didn't hold his foot and it fell down. So now we're holding his feet on the platform. We lowered the weight back and we helped him. We pushed him forward. He lowered the weight coming back. 17 weeks later, when I walked into the center, Floyd Lowe, sitting in a Nautilus seated dip machine, and I'll explain why in a second, in its Nautilus seated dip machine, waved from across the therapy center, Gary! And he called to me, and he stood up and walked across the room unassisted.
That's amazing.
If there was a dry eye in the room, it weren't mine, because everybody was crying just for the sheer joy of watching what just happened. Now, why does that matter? Floyd was about as far out as I've ever expecting someone to go, because you should never get to where he was.
Right.
You shouldn't be 2 years in a wheelchair, simply too weak to walk. When you start noticing that you're having trouble and you need a walker, then that's already too late to start strength building. Why don't you start before you even stumble your feet? Okay, so hopefully no one ever gets to the Floyd level, but that's where I've brought people back from. Now, what are you going to do for the people in your life? Who are you going to help understand what they need to do? Now, here's how simple it is to learn what to do. You go to my website, nothing for sale there. I want to make that absolutely clear. It is free. Take my paper, use it to help others. That's all I ask you to do. You don't even have to credit me. I don't care. Everything is written down, what to do, how to do it, why I did it. And all of the evidence-based research is there to demonstrate how you answer people if they ask you questions, doctors, therapists, whatever. All the evidence is there.
Well, now, Gary, let me just break in for 1 second. Let me ask you this. Obviously, to see someone be able to walk across the room, that, you know, we all know, Jimmy, my brother, I know what a wheelchair does to him. You know, it atrophies everything, but he couldn't have walked anyways. But the point of the matter is, what did you find as, you know, let's face it, everybody needs self-confidence, but what were some of the ingredients you were finding that people were either getting back or for the first time in their long life they discovered about themselves? I mean, was it, you know, not only the physicality again, but they had to become sharper mentally. I'm sure they were talking more positive. Just what were some of the things that were happening with these people that you noticed, you know, that was starting to transpire in their life?
Very simple answer. You ready for this? You're going to love this.
I'm ready.
You had to have a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And his goal, like I told you in the beginning, was to go to the bathroom by himself. He found that absolutely unacceptable.
Yep.
Two people had to help him go to the toilet.
Well, you know something too, Gary? This is something I harp on a lot, and I'm guilty of it too. You know, we take the simplest things in life and we don't even think twice about them. You know, how would it feel if you couldn't plant your feet on the ground when you get out of bed and just walk to the bathroom, like we said? Or how about doing the simple thing like getting in your car and driving to a grocery store? Or, you know, picking your son or daughter up and giving them the biggest hug of the day? You know, that's the thing. Until it's gone, we don't think about it a lot, and it's something that really every day we should think about, because, you know, I saw it with my brother. I mean, you just see things transpiring over and over, a little weaker, you know, you can get sicker a lot easier, the immune system's dropping down, everything. and you can see these things materializing. But, I mean, while you've got your health, which you should try to always keep, I mean, these basic things, I've taken them for granted. I'm not going to say I haven't. I think about them more than ever now, but, you know, we don't think nothing of, you know, putting a pair of shoes on or tying a tie or, you know, going wherever we want to go. We just kind of take that for granted. But when you see someone in their 80s, 90s, and even getting near 100, suddenly can get up out of a wheelchair and walk to the bathroom, to me, look, I'll call it a miracle myself, because those things you don't see every day. But, you know, I just want to interject that. Go ahead.
Well, let me tell you the last day that I worked for the billion-dollar rehab company. Actually, they were a billion-dollar-plus rehab company. And it wasn't that I was leaving. It's that my time was through for what I do. I cause change. Once I cause the change, I go on to the next thing that motivates me.
Yep.
So I was done. I had spent 15 years doing it. So I didn't walk in and walk out. I was there quite a while. And I was asked to do a presentation in Chicago. There were about 150 people in the audience. And everybody was nursing home director, head nurse, physician, gerontologist, owners of nursing homes. That's who was in the audience, okay? And I tell a story where I talk about taking people and getting them at a very low weight, whatever they can do 12 to 15 reps with, and then gradually increment them up, following the DeLorme method. And with that, explain how I'd often get people up to 150, 200 pounds of weight that they compress. And people would look at me like, well, Gary, now hold on. Are you suggesting that, you know, it always came up. Someone always raised their hand. It was for sure when I did this presentation. But this is the last one that I gave to an audience. And the person raised their hand and said, well, now, are you suggesting that we have 85-year-old osteoporotic women leg press on a Nautilus machine hundreds of pounds of weight?
Yep.
And I said, as I dropped the mic down and dropped my head down, looked towards the floor, I said, I'm very, very sorry. I apologize. I don't know how I made that mistake again. No, I am not suggesting that 85-year-old osteoporotic women leg press hundreds of pounds on a Nautilus machine. And then I looked up, held the mic, scanned the audience, and said, I'm telling you, it's a requirement.
There you go.
It's not a suggestion. Well, you could have heard a pin drop. I swear I heard people's hearts beating. And they looked at me like, oh, my God, what he just said. He's serious. No, I'm not serious, folks. Watch this. Now, look at some of the videos that I have out there, because the videos are there. Okay, I have the video proof of what I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have one where a gentleman, I wish I knew his name offhand. I just don't remember his name. I'm sorry. But it was out in California near L.A., Anaheim's, I think, or some name like that. I don't remember the name, but a nursing home in California. And here's what happened. The gentleman is a very educated, very successful, very proper man. It was an engineer, I believe, is what his training was. And he had a very high-end job title before he retired.
Okay.
But now he's in the nursing home. And when I get there, they have just discharged him from therapy. In therapy, when you fail to progress, quote, fail to progress, you're discharged because Medicare will no longer pay for services if you're not progressing.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
So they had done all they could for him. He was unable to walk.
Yep.
They told him he was going to spend the rest of his life in the nursing home, that he was never going back to the assisted care facility. That's one step below a nursing home, where you kind of live independently and people just come in and help you.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the same campus.
Yep.
So he had progressed over to the nursing home. And they had told him, look, you're never going to go home. You're going to stay in the nursing home. You can forget about going back to your house where you came from. You're not even getting back to the assisted care facility. And I get there, and I said, what do you want? You want to go home? And I said, all right. Turn to the therapist. Now, remember, this, they're just getting the equipment. The program's just being implemented. I'm the teacher teaching everyone how to do it. So I told the therapist, here's what you do. And I told the gentleman, you do what I just said to do, and you're going to get strong. I don't know if you'll be strong enough to go home, but I can tell you right now, if you give me what your heart and your mouth are showing me you're going to do, I'm very optimistic.
Oh yeah.
I can't promise you're going to walk, but I'm very, like, you know, you can tell if someone's got a goal and they want something, you can feel that. It's the same thing with you. When you're trying to, you tell me somebody's going to carry a stone, but they don't really want to do it, or they're going to lift an anvil and they're not really interested. It ain't coming off the ground unless you're going to do it. Okay. I saw in him, he wanted to do it. Well, at the end of about 13 weeks, and by the way, you can watch the video. You can see the whole interview with this gentleman. Now, here's what happens. We get done interviewing him, and he's been there now for about 10, 12 weeks in the program. And he tells about how he goes up in strength virtually every day. So one day he's on 30 pounds, and he gets 12 reps. And then the next time he's on 40 pounds, and he gets – and then he just keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger every time he comes.
Yep.
Now it's about 10 weeks out. At the end of the interview, he says, by the way, I'm going home next week.
Ha, that is awesome.
Wait, watch the video, because if I can't make you cry, nobody can.
Yep.
Because the video is him when he stands up from the interview chair and walks out of the rehab facility.
Yep.
What can I do to convince someone other than to tell you that I took a guy that hadn't walked in 2 years, got him walking about 17 weeks. That gentleman we have on video explaining what was going on, and he walks out of the room. And by the way, he went home.
Well, I'll tell you what. You said this all through the show. The biggest thing is goals. But I'll add a few more things to it, too. When you talk about these people, you have to have optimism. Goals are great, but you have to be the internal, external optimist when you're doing things like that. Plus, Gary, you have to be able to convey this to them where they're going to believe enough in you and the quality of your character and your work that they're going to buy into it. And I try to stress this with a lot of people. You know, if that was the case with everything out there, people could sell anything. And you'll buy it. Now, I know a lot of people buy things and make bad decisions and pay hard for them later on. But when you see a guy like yourself coming in there, and, you know, you've been on the show enough, and I've talked to you enough offline. When you talk, you talk. You're a very confident man when you talk. You know your subject. You're not afraid to lay your ass on the line, which nowadays most people will not do that. You're not afraid of being ridiculed if that's the case, because obviously you know your subject and you'll always come back with it. But I think the biggest thing what you've done there, besides really giving these people back their lives, and you have. I mean, someone gets to go home. Someone gets to walk to the bathroom again. We might sit here and say, you know, that's not it. It's everything. It's everything. To have dignity, to have strength, to have power, to be able to think again. Not be in the land of confusion with everything. That's the biggest thing. So what I see with you is this. Obviously, the confidence and the way you taught people and spoke to them, they had to buy into that first. Obviously, you had to create the goal, talk to them, see what they wanted to achieve. And third, I just think you got to have gallons and gallons of optimism. And obviously, then you put the plan into action. So that's what I've drawn from you in this show today, because those factors, if you don't do them and practice them accordingly, and with a lot, and you got to have a lot of firepower in your soul to get to something like that, it's not going to happen. So go ahead. I just wanted to interject that. I mean, that's what I've drawn from, obviously, what we're talking about right now.
Well, I'm with you on that, and I'm blessed personally in that. When I care about something,
yep,
it wakes me up.
Yep, I'm with you.
It says, you aren't stopping until this is settled.
Yeah.
And I'm an evidence-based person. So when I go out and try to initiate change, I don't go out me saying what to do.
Right.
I go out saying, here's what the index peer review literature says you're supposed to be doing, and this is what you're doing.
Yep.
So you're not doing it right. This is right. And people will often say to me, well, you know, it's interesting because how do you become a national director in $2 billion plus rehab companies and you're not a therapist? I said, that is precisely the reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I don't see the way they see.
Right.
They're looking at it the way they were trained to think.
Yep.
I look at it and say, that man wants to go pee by himself.
Yeah.
And what you're doing ain't going to make him strong enough to let that happen.
Well,
and I know how to get strong.
Right.
You know how to get strong. All we have to do is do it safely. Whether it's a pregnant woman, whether it's a woman coming back post-cesarean, and you have to strengthen the back and the abdominal muscles to get her back so that she can stand upright and not hurt.
Yep.
Or whether it's a 95-year-old, what I call, and you'll see when you go to that page, twoweektowalk.com, you'll see that it's called sports medicine for 95-year-olds.
Yep.
Everything I do in my world is sports medicine.
Yep.
Whether it's the injured workers or the pregnant or women during the pregnancy year or the elderly, it's sports medicine to me. Whether it's the no icing, it's sports medicine to me.
Yep.
Sports medicine simply says we're going to use the principles of building strength and apply it to your problem, to your malady.
Yep.
It's that simple. Now, why wouldn't you do that? Well, because you don't understand. That's the only reason.
Exactly.
I have a rule about therapists. And I'm not being mean. I'm not being judgmental. But if you go to a therapy clinic and that therapist has never deliberately broken a sweat in a gym.
Yeah, go away.
Get a different yeah. therapist.
Yeah.
And if you go to a doctor and that doctor, that orthopedic surgeon, doesn't work out, doesn't do anything physical, and worse, smokes, get a different doctor.
Yeah.
You need to have someone that's going to support you in the sports medicine process. Now, the great news is there's a whole load of doctors and therapists who completely agree with what I just said.
Yep.
It's not the majority, but there's plenty of them. And they can help you. You can get strong, and you can overcome almost any obstacle. Now, clearly, there are some things you can't solve with getting strong. But as my good friend Joe Smith says, and his name really is Joe Smith, my good friend Joe Smith says, I can't think of a single thing that goes wrong health-wise that doesn't benefit from getting stronger.
Oh, without a doubt. And you know, the one thing you've got over a therapist is this. They're gonna only go so far with their expectations, whether it's what they've learned in school to do that, or the mental blocks they have up. And the one thing I've always liked about any type of strength training is this. When you've done it, when you've perfected something you know that works, it doesn't matter what they say. You can go out and prove it. And that's the main thing with everything. You know, it's like what we do here. Everything we talk about, we do. We don't go out and just read the latest journal out there and say, hey, yeah, try this. This is going to work. Well, how do I know it's going to work? I've never done it. So the idea of, let's put it this way, resistance training, whatever you want to call it, the barbell, as much as I love stones and all the other toys I like to play with, all those dangerous toys, there is nothing a barbell cannot do for you. All right? Now, I'm talking in the genre out there of training. When you understand it like anything, and we're never going to perfect everything. I mean, I there's things I do with barbells. I'm learning, doing different angles, building different contraptions to move a dumbbell or a barbell. And you know what this is? This is all vision. This is creativity. These are the things that when they go to me or they go to a Gary and they're like, well, how did you come up with something like that? I'll tell you how I came up with a lot of my stuff, because I had to train alone. I did it out of necessity. Here's the word, everybody, safety. Because I didn't want to lose my life out there or have anybody find me split in half, all right? So sometimes things that you are doing necessitate how you get very good at it. And see, this is where the people like Gary and the others and all our other family on the show, they shine. Because they're not afraid of ridicule. They're not afraid of falling down and having to get back up. And they're sure as hell not going to let themselves get hurt, not intentionally at least. So these things are very important. And when you have that mental mindset, when you walk in somewhere and you have the ability to take everything you know and put it across in a way where you can make people understand it, where you're not talking 10 feet over their head. All right. When you can do things like that and then be set up to put it into action, you've got them then. And I've never seen anybody that I've ever worked with, once they buy into your program or something, maybe we got to change it a little bit, but it works. They're seeing results, whether it's losing weight, whether it's getting stronger. See, I still equate everything together. Losing weight means getting stronger. That could be mentally. That could be physically. That could be both. All these things go in together when you go into somewhere like that and it's like, well, we couldn't do that with them, or are you sure about that? That seems like a lot of weight. Yes, I am sure. How? Because I've done it maybe with 100 people before you. Gary, summarize anything you want. Give out all your information. Let me give mine out and hang on the line, please, and we'll get ready for another show.
The summary of this talk today is very basic. You are going to get older someday, hopefully. People you know and love are already older, and they're going to get older. If you do nothing else, go to 2weektowalk.com.
Yep.
And just save the PDF. Just save it.
Yep.
Because it may save your functional life.
Yep. I agree. No, I totally agree. You got anything else, sir?
Anybody that wants to know about my book, my most current book, ICE, The Illusionary Treatment Option, that's at GaryReynolds.com. It's on Amazon and Kindle. I appreciate the support I get with the book, but that wasn't the purpose today, so I'm not going to push that. But if you want to get to that, you can just by going to GaryReynolds.com or Kindle or Amazon.
Well, you push it out all you want. That's one of the things we like to do for everybody here. We're very happy to help. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out there and check out the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, obviously. Also, too, our 30-day course where this is just something you can build upon like crazy. This is something that we use all the time here. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and just look at all the shows out there. There's nobody that has the extensive library we have. We've been now up for a little over 2 months, but almost 26 months now, and we had a big podcasting show on yesterday with Mackenzie Bennett of Blueberry, who I do all my storage and streaming and more stuff we're doing with him before the end of the year, and that's what she said. Most shows are lucky if they last 30 days. 30 days, think about that. We're over 2 years, and it's not been by accident. I, like Gary, when Gary talks about what he did with the elderly there, and I'm not even comparing it, but both of us and everybody here has, we just seem to have a drive like I don't see in many people. And this has been so important to me that the drive I have in me is unstoppable at times. I mean, it's like way out of control. It's the only way you can do things. If you want to be successful no matter what, and we are going through some major growing pains right now, and I mean major. But we will steer the ship and keep rolling, I guarantee you, no matter what is going on. Also, too, don't forget to go out to motivationmuscle.com and check out the website. Leave a comment. iTunes and Stitcher, leave us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten from everybody. You know we're streaming. We're out on so many directories. Go out to Google Play Music. Shoutcast, Aha for your radio in your car, and the new cars all have the capability for podcasting. You can get us through AHA. It's called Aha. Also, too, let's see, Stitcher, iTunes, go out there. I already said that. Give us a 5-star review. If there's a show that you'd like Gary and I to do, FiorellaBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. I'm sure we could put something together there. Also, too, I'll leave you with these 5 things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give words of inspiration, motivation. How about just going up and looking somebody in the eye and shaking their hand and saying, you can do it? You'd be surprised what that does to people, the way it moves them. You heard Gary talk about going into with all the elderly people. You don't think that shook their spirits, man? It doesn't matter how old you are. You still got it in you. It's just someone needs to bring it out and stop telling you you can't do things. We go over it over and over again, and we'll do it to the day I sign off from here. Obviously, too, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get this that day. Also, too, if you're going to lift, bend it, break it, press it, pull it, squat it, and if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. As the great Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We won't follow anybody. We are a revolution, everybody. Anybody that's been with me from the beginning or listen to the show, I get it all the time. Your shows are getting better. You sound better. It's like, when we talk about Russell Fur saying that testosterone drips out of the speakers when he listens to it, and I thank him every time, and he's been listening to us from day one, and he's been on the show. I get calls. I get texts from people. Man, your show was so intense today when you were talking. I swear to God, the speakers were vibrating. That's what we do here, man. That's my personality. This is no game. This is the real deal here. So think about all that stuff. No one's ever going to clip our balls. And as I always say, Russell Fur, we will say that for the next 28 years, I guarantee you. Also, Frank Klein, who was my greatest business teacher in college, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, among many things, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, the greatest chiropractor I ever had, who we lost 2 years ago to cancer, who was like a father figure to me because I lost my dad so long before I met John. He would say 2 words to every patient he walked to the door. Keep smiling. I dare you to say that and not smile. Keep smiling, everybody. Also, too, it's going to be a long time, but I can't wait to meet up with those 3 again. But the thing that I can't wait more than anything in the world is to meet Jimmy, who everything in this whole company is dedicated to, my brother we lost from muscular dystrophy. I can't wait to the day I meet him, and he's standing. Standing. He'll be on his own 2 legs, man. What do you think that's going to be like? Standing, that miracle of my brother. I can't wait, but it's going to be probably another 50, 70, 80 years. I have no idea. But I just think about those things every day, those 3 men and my brother, every day, besides Iceland and all the other things that are running around in my head. Also, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And remember this, tell 100 or more of your friends, because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to kick it through. Join our family. Join our revolution, because I'm telling you right now, the world needs us. It needs the men and women from this show and all our family, and we are going to get everywhere we've talked about. Gary, it's been an honor and a pleasure. Thank you for being on the show, sir.
Thanks very much for having me. Had a lot of fun. Thank you.
Anytime. Bye. You're always welcome here. So, for Gary Reinl, it's Eric Fiorello. We'll have Gary on again very shortly. Thanks for listening, everybody. And remember this, you do have greatness. We all know that. But the thing is, we are standing right behind you. Never be afraid. Thanks, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.